Hello, everybody. Hope you're doing fantastic. It's Louie and Brad, and we're coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia today on the Passion Podcast. Can we just get a little, we didn't get the whoop last time. We never got that.
Come on, people.
Can you give us a little whoop?
Not by myself.
Not by yourself. Okay, great. I love that Aggie spirit. Hey, guys, welcome back. We're glad you're here. And hello, big news, Brad. We passed through that deadline, September 23rd, registration. Things went a little crazy, and one of our venues sold out. And we've been telling people that was probably going to happen the whole time, and lo and behold, it did. But that's nothing to worry about because we have three venues, and that's the great news about having three venues. So Phillips Arena in Atlanta, Georgia is sold out for Passion 2016, but you're not going to miss anything by being at Infinite Energy Arena in Gwinnett or being at the Toyota Center in Houston. So shift plans. You say, but my friend already is going to Phillips and now I've got to go to wherever. Hey, you're a resourceful college student. You'll find a friend. You'll swap out your registration. You'll buy one for Gwinnett. They'll go there, whatever. It'll work out. Just make sure you are in Passion 2016. And even though that price increase went by, I wouldn't mess around. I'd get your plans together, get your group together. I'd get on board now.
Man, that's pretty awesome that one arena's already sold out, but there still is space, and you don't want to miss out. So I echo what Louis said. Let's figure it out and let's get there. And speaking of registering for Passion, Louis, there are a lot of students that can't afford it. And so just want to let you know that we are working to make some scholarships available. We do hear from students around the country that would really like to be there if the finances worked out. One, we would just say you are resourceful and you've got, you know a lot of people. And so don't let money be the issue. You're not at Passion, and start having some conversations. Start telling some people you know that you would really like to go if you could get some help. We heard a really cool story just recently about 50 college students being scholarshiped by two of their peers who had put on a concert in Pella, Iowa.
Isn't that amazing? So their friends came to Passion.
Yep,
and
two of
absolutely
them
were blown away and went home and said, look, everybody in our town that's 18 to 25 at our church needs to be at this. And they didn't have the resources. And so
they wanted to have a gathering,
sort of
a worship gathering.
They put on a concert in their town.
Yep.
And they ended up covering the expenses for the concert, which was a pretty big step of faith. And then they actually made enough on top of that to scholarship. How many people?
50 students.
50 students are going to be scholarship to Passion because two people had the vision. You know what I love about that, Brad? I love about that is it's the nature of the gospel to make a place for people.
Yep.
And God went to extraordinary lengths to make a place for us with him. And so when we see that and receive that, that generates in us a desire to make a place for other people. That's why church isn't about my place. It's about me making a place so that someone can join me in this place. And I love that those students didn't just go to Passion and say, man, we loved it. We thought it was incredible. It changed our lives. I'm sorry y'all weren't there. They went home going, we're going to figure out how.
And imagine what it's going to be like for those two students this
year. Wow, how incredible.
When God is moving in their life, but it's exponentially greater because they're looking down the row and section, really, because 50 mm-hmm. students is a lot of students. They're like, these people might not be here if it weren't for our faith and us activating on our faith. It's going to be amazing.
Pella, Iowa in the house.
Yeah, come on now. Third church in Pella, Iowa.
Oh, that's so cool. The third church. Well, that's even there. I wonder what would have happened if they were the first or second church. I mean, I love that. It's the third church and they're blowing doors. Phenomenal. We love you guys. We're so excited about seeing you. And you know what I love about that, Brad, is that we do have posters and rave cards and we have an Instagram account and website and a promo video, which is really amazing, by the way. It's my favorite Passion promo video ever. But at the same time, people don't come to Passion because of rave cards and posters and promo videos. They come because two people went and met God in such a powerful way that they go home and tell their friends, you are coming with me. It started that way.
Yep.
Passion 97, there were no Instagram accounts. There wasn't an internet.
What?
There were no cell phones. And we went from, 2,000 students at the very first Passion to 5,000 the next year to 11,000 the next year in 3 years. And there was no marketing campaign behind that.
Wow.
It was students going back to their campus and telling their friends, you got to come with me. And that's the power of the college campus. That's why Passion does what we do. Because when that same momentum happens with the story of the gospel, a campus can be reached for Jesus faster than any other subgroup on planet Earth. And so I love it, and way to go, those two students, man! What a great, great experience they're going to have. You hit that right, man. They're going to be looking around, going, "I'm not just getting my life blown away. I'm watching 50 other people get their lives blown away because I took a step of faith and trusted God." That's incredible. Hey, listen, we got a special guest today. We got to get to it, and I don't think she needs any introduction from anybody here. In fact, when I say she, people are thinking, "Okay, I got a feeling I know who that might be." But she has been just a little force speaking at Passion the last few years, and I want you guys to welcome back to the Passion Podcast, Christine Kane. So great to have Christine Kane with us on the Passion Podcast today, an amazing tsunami of Jesus power circling the globe. Christine, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Louie. It's my honor, always my honor to be on this.
I want you to tell people about A21. I know that, you know, sometimes we think everybody knows what's going on with human trafficking. Obviously, that's not the case. And people don't know about A21 and the heartbeat of what's going on. So could you just take a couple minutes and sort of bring that podcast listener into the stream of what's happening around the world?
Sure. Well, you know, Louie, obviously we're all part of the End It movement, which has come out of the heartbeat of Passion, which is awesome. And all of us are just trying to change the numbers a bit, you know, currently. And I guess it depends what a statistic you read, but it's anything up to 30 million people today trapped in slavery. And whether that's, you know, forced labor trafficking or sex trafficking. And it is just unbelievable that in our lifetime, on our watch, that there are people, you know, the fastest growing crime worldwide, faster than the trafficking of drugs and armaments, is the trafficking of human beings, which is just horrific to me, that the only thing created in the image of God is people, and that on our watch, on the planet as the church, the thing that's most trafficked on the earth is human beings created in the image of God. So really A21 started out of a dream in my heart to just kind of shift the needle a bit and get people to awaken to the fact that it is not okay, and it's not okay to traffic human beings and to sell them for sex or for, you know, or so that I can wear a cheap T-shirt or get cheap coffee or chocolate or whatever it might be. And so we started out of that 7 years ago in Thessaloniki, Greece, and by the grace of God now we have, you know, 12 offices in 12 different countries around the world. And we're involved in everything, really the whole process from investigation right through to prosecution and to providing aftercare services. So we are very committed to working on the ground with people to see this change and helping to educate law enforcement, airport, you know, anywhere that humans can be trafficked. You'll find us kind of trying to change that. I think right now we're very, very involved on the borders in France and Greece and Croatia, where there are, you know, particularly on the border with 14,000 Syrian refugees a day are coming through the Greek border, literally a day. And many of these, many thousands of these are young children that have got no parents, that have got... And because the UN is not there because just because of different reasons that they can't be there, the Red Cross doesn't even know who the kids are. So we've got people on the ground finding these children before the traffickers get to them so that we can register them with the Red Cross and begin to, you know, wherever there's any major horror or drama, you'll find trafficking right there because just you've got kids that are so vulnerable and so exposed to being trafficked. So, you know, it's a big deal, and it's right in front of our eyes, and it's in our neighbourhoods right here. And for people that are listening from North America, I mean, people listen to this podcast from all over the world. So wherever you are listening to this podcast from, it's happening in your own backyard.
So you came to an airport in Greece one trip, and you looked up and saw a poster in the airport, and something flipped inside you, and you said, okay, it's time for me to take action. And that step has obviously exploded exponentially into lots of different things. A21 has a massive imprint in the world. But what I love about that story, Christine, is it, you know, everything starts with something, and that something is common. And it is when my heart says, for me, this is the end of the road. I'm going to take a step, some step. I don't even know what the step is. And I think for Passion, that's what I love, how these things collide together, because You know, having arenas full of people is amazing, but at some point, every single person has to have that divine intersection in their life. And it doesn't have to be leading a movement like A21 or planning a church, but there has to be that moment where you say, okay, I see the world the way God sees the world, and I am going to get involved in his plan of redeeming this world.
Well, I think exactly, Louis. Well, I mean, if we think of Jesus himself, I mean, he came to earth to do really that, the one big thing, obviously, to go to the cross for us all. But on the way to the cross, he stopped to help people all along. I mean, I keep, you know, at the moment, my mantra everywhere I'm going is, I don't understand the language in the Christian church of compassion fatigue. I don't know how you could be born again and be filled with the Spirit of God and suffer from compassion fatigue, because Jesus never did. Whether it was a blind man, a crippled man, a woman by the well, or whatever, he was always moved with compassion, even though he still had the big thing he was going to do that was ahead of him. He never stopped doing the one thing wherever he was. And if we all, I think what happens to us is we think, I can't do everything, so because I can't do everything, I don't do the one thing. And if I did the one thing, that would activate something. And so I'm trying to, I don't really talk very much about all the big picture A21 stuff, because I know many times that can overwhelm people. People can sort of feel paralyzed because they think, I can't do all of that. But Jesus has never asked anyone to do everything. He just said, what's the one thing you can do? And if we, as a movement and passion, if we can get those arenas of young people and people in colleges going, what is the one thing I can do? And I think even when I stood at that carousel, I was going to do what I always do, you know, speak at a conference. But I had just had my second baby, and I'm 40 years old. I'm 40 years old with a kid. I live in Australia. I mean, it makes no sense. I don't have a degree in this stuff. I have no formal training in this stuff. But I just knew, look, the one thing I can do is I've got a mouth, and I've got people that listen. And that's really, I had no idea it would become what it has become. But I did know that wherever I went, I would talk about this. And I remember when sitting with one girl who said to me, she said to me, why are you here? I always call it my Schindler's List moment. I was in an aftercare facility telling her about the love of Jesus. And she said, why are you here? I told her about my own sexual abuse that I'd encountered for 12 years growing up, and how Jesus had healed me and restored me, and he could do the same for a traffic victim like her. And I remember she just stopped me mid-sentence, and as I was telling her about the love and the mercy and the grace of God, and mid-sentence she goes, stop talking. She said, if this is true about your God, then why didn't you come sooner?
Wow.
And that one phrase, why didn't you come sooner, all of these years later still compels me to say, if I really believe this gospel, whatever I can do, whatever that one thing, it doesn't have to be everything, but if I don't do that one thing, then I'm going to be held, you know, I'm one of those people that just believes I'm going to be held to account, not for what anyone else didn't do, but for what I did or didn't do.
You know, I think that a lot of people, you know, they would look at you and they would say, well, if I were Christine Kane, I would do something also. She's got amazing influence. She speaks all over the world, but I'm, you know, just one person. Nobody knows who I am. I have, you know, 47 followers on my Instagram account, and, you know, I've got my own issues and my own baggage, and God's really not going to use me to do anything in this, you know, here and now moment. And this is a dilemma, right? Because doesn't everybody have a platform of some kind, and isn't everyone a leader to somebody?
Full stop. Absolutely. I think, unfortunately, with this sort of celebrity media, social media age that we live in, people think you have to be well known to have any significance for Jesus. But that's certainly not how the kingdom advances at all. Jesus doesn't, he will use anybody. And I think we see that in scripture. We preach that, we listen to sermons about it. The only difference is, I think, between those of us that are actually doing something and those that aren't, is at some point we just choose to believe it. I mean, I wasn't always known, whatever that means, like I am today, or I certainly did not have the influence that I had today, but I have always had, from the day I got saved, I've had this passion, I've had this zeal, and when it was serving 6 young women in our local youth ministry when I used to drive them to youth group, and I would go and stay at their houses for hours and, you know, play netball with them back in Australia and just pray with them and be involved in it. I mean, I did everything I could then. And the truth is, everywhere I've been at every season of my life, I've just done all I can with what I have, where I am. And to be honest with you, I don't know that it ever grows more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, because now my life may seem amazing to somebody out there. And, you know, they would think if I had that kind of influence and those kind of resources. But if they only knew the magnitude of what the Lord is leading me to do now, what I have today is the equivalent of 5 loaves and 2 fish, because that's all I ever had. And the minute I think I've got more than that, I'm no longer in faith. I'm doing what I can do in my own strength with my own resources and my own contacts, and that's not going to yield God-sized fruit. And so I'm out there in the deep now as much as I was when nobody knew me, when I didn't appear to have any sort of gift, talent, or influence. I just did then. I just believed God and stepped out with what I had. And the truth is, I continue to do that every day. The difference is there's probably a lot more people watching. And I think there's a great danger to that, because then what can happen to believers is they can end up spectating at a Christian event or spectating and watching another Christian their life rather than stepping into the arena and living the life that God's called them to live. So there's a great danger. There's a fine line between being inspired by people and being motivated and using that as an excuse to not actually step into what God has called you to do about an issue.
We're talking to our friend Christine Kane. She and her husband Nick, their amazing family, great friends to Shelley and me and to the Passion Movement. And if you don't know, Christine's authored 2 recent books, Undaunted and Unstoppable. And there's a 3rd, Un, on the way. But
Unashamed.
Unashamed is on the way. So if you haven't had a chance to crack open both of these, they'll encourage you, they'll inspire you, they will help you realize the possibility and the potential of what God wants you to do in your life. And we're so excited, Christine, to have you back at Passion 2016 coming up this year. That's sort of this crazy idea of doing 1 event in 3 arenas and 2 cities at the same time. But it's going to be beautiful when it happens. And when you speak, everyone will be listening to you live at the same time. So that doesn't mean you'll be in all 3 arenas at the same time, because so far that's physically impossible. But you will be speaking in an arena, and everyone will be hearing you at the same time. Every single person there will be experiencing that moment, what God is doing in that moment. It's going to be pretty incredible. I have a burden, and my burden, Christine, is that we're fast becoming a generation of people that really love to gather in worship and gather in the presence of God. But there seems to be an incongruency between the number of gatherings we have and the number of people who are actually coming to know Jesus on college campuses day after day after day. And I'm kind of thinking, with all these great tours that are happening and these great gatherings and conferences and events and the like, that we really should be seeing tens of thousands of people coming to life on campus right now. And I want to make sure somehow we don't settle for just all getting together, but in the getting together, there's a rocketing out towards people who need Jesus. And I want to see 50,000 people at Passion 2016, but I want to see at least 50,000 people come to know Jesus as a result of that.
Amen. Amen. You're speaking my language. I'm running laps holding my phone while you're talking to me, because it is, my greatest burden. I think, you know, when all is said and done in my life, if I was to sort of put any kind of label on myself, people put lots of different labels on, but definitely the evangelist one would be the one that is mostly the thing that drives me. It drives everything that I do. And I think if there is a disparity, if our gatherings do not result in strengthening us to scatter and to be salt and light, I just can't see long-term value. Is that we should be so activated. I too have just been watching the landscape of the church capital C, and just kind of my jaw is on the floor with the amount of access to gathering together as believers and worshiping God and listening to the word. We should be experiencing full-on revival. And I mean, really what that word really means, like just just absolute revival, people being radically saved, people radically encountering Christ. And I don't, you know, I mean, I'm talking, I don't want to preempt my message, but I can tell you this thing, before God, there is not one gathering that I'm speaking at in the next, probably 6 months that I'm not carrying the burden of more than, passion. I don't feel for, you know, it's been one of my greatest honors to be a part of that because of the impact that it can have. It is so powerful and has, but, and will have in days to come. But, you know, when I look at the book of Acts and I look at, people that have been with Jesus and the result of what happened in the marketplace, in, you know, for want of a better phrase, in universities, in colleges, in just society, because people had gathered and been with Jesus. I mean, there's a disparity between what I'm seeing. I'm seeing all of us kind of gather, and I'm like, okay, so why are we not seeing revival? And definitely I will be, I feel, you know, speaking kind of from my perspective into that. So I think that people are hungry. I think the world is waiting. You know, Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. And I really think that's what it keeps coming down to. There's a difference between being a spectator. There's a difference between being entertained. And there's a difference between being a laborer. And somewhere there has to be an activation where it has to drop from our head to a willingness to go to our hands and our feet. And Jesus didn't call us co-stars. He called us co-laborers. And I think the bottom line is that for a number of reasons, whether it's a perceived personal limitations, insecurity, fear, perhaps just apathy, selfishness, whatever you want to call it, we're not laborers, because laboring is not glamorous work. And we want spectacular, we want to do spectacular things for Jesus rather than laboring with Jesus. And I think if we could help break that down, we would realize we would come out of being so supercharged in those kind of environments. And then we would roll up our sleeves for however long it took, however unglamorous it was, however anonymous it is, and we would begin to labor in the harvest. Because the issue is not that there's not enough people to be saved. They're there. I think there's not enough urgency in us to want to see people saved. So you begin to dilute things then, and you begin to dilute what the word really is, or what the gospel is, or what salvation might really mean, and you just to make it fit comfortably, to make my life feel comfortable, rather than going, you know what, I really believe this stuff. I really believe there's a heaven. I really believe there's a hell. I really believe that Jesus loves the whole world and wants to save the whole world, and I'm going to give my one and only life, not to some kind of self-actualization and self-fulfillment, because I'll only ever really find that when I step into what God's plan is and co-laboring with Him. And I'm looking for, while I'm trying to just kind of find my own satisfaction, I'm going to miss the very purpose for which the Lord has me on the earth.
Well, this is what Christine is all about. And if you're listening today, this is the message of passion, really, in a nutshell. And it is that, you know, I think we may spend our lifetimes stumbling over our own inadequacies. And what it's all about is really getting a glimpse of the adequacy of God by the power of His Spirit and Christ in us. And we all are limited. We all have problems. We all have a history. We all have a story. We're all broken in some way. And we've all been knocked down a time or two in life, and we've got a residual of the common sin that absolutely can cripple us all. But we also have a Savior. There's an empty tomb, a stone that was rolled away. There's a Spirit of God who's now a gift to each one of us, and the life of Christ has become our very own life. And so what is passion? It's about us being in a space together, eyes open together, with a vision together of a God who's more adequate than the sum of all our inadequacies. And it's thinking in that power every day that, no, I've got issues, but God's got no issues. And so therefore, I've got no issues letting God, who has no issues, use me. So we're excited. Christine, it just means the world to us that you'd walk alongside and partner with us and pouring into the lives of these 18 to 25-year-olds, their leaders. And we're praying, we're expecting, believing what you were just saying, that this newness of God will really awaken us to do something for Him. And I don't know, I'm starting to get weary of I just want to be with Jesus. I just want more of Jesus. I'm like, how about a world that's never even heard of Jesus? Let's get out and serve with Christ in the world so that people
can hear how amazing he is. So thanks for joining us today. You're such a special friend to us, and we just pray blessing, favor on you today. Look forward to seeing you. There are messages that you've given at Passion, by the way. Your message of the dark room, 2 weeks don't go by that someone doesn't say to me, Christine Cain's dark room message at Passion totally shaped a trajectory in my life. Isn't it amazing that a word like that can really impact people for not just a day or a month or a year, but it can change the whole flight pattern of their life.
I pray so. And I love that God's word, I mean, he promises that it would do that, you know. And I am, if people come and people that are listening to this podcast come with an open heart and receptivity, I do believe, I mean, I personally think it is the most significant gathering on the planet of that age group. And God doesn't do that for no reason. I mean, Louis, you know, Nick and I so love you and Shelley, and I truly have always said I so believe that you're an apostle and a prophet to this generation. And so I think the fact that you have birthed this, that if people come with that kind of expectancy, we are laboring to bring the word. I mean, we're not just bringing a word or a top message, but hopefully a word from God that's filled with the anointing of the Holy Spirit that would just literally do that in someone's life. Because I know that's what it did to mine at that age. At 22, my life turned around, went on a totally different trajectory, and that's why I am where I am at 49. But if I didn't have that open heart, that's why that age bracket is really do or die. Because at 18 to 25, if you let Jesus lay a hold of you, there is nothing comparable. And it's not easy, but there is nothing comparable, nothing better than living a life on purpose and on mission for the glory of God and to expand his kingdom. And I think I look at so much on the earth today and, or you know, everyone talks about the options of this generation, and it's not that we've never had options. I think it still comes down to, are we willing to truly follow Jesus, to believe that we can see revival in our lifetime and that God could actually use me in the midst of it? And if we can activate that, I think, I don't think you can, you know, even the talk of, I want to just spend more time with Jesus, I want to be with Jesus, it's unbiblical to say that you could spend more time with Jesus and that doesn't have a noticeable different outcome in the world. Like, the fact is, the consequence of being with Jesus is that you become salt and light at a whole different level in the world. It's just kind of like not even biblical to say, I just want to kind of hide and just be me and the Lord. Me and the Lord means me and the world. And Jesus doesn't separate the two of them. And I don't think we can. So I have a feeling, I just kind of need to throw it out there, I just really believe 2016 is a pivotal year for Passion, and it's going to actually be, I think it's going to totally launch the whole next season of it. I wouldn't be missing it at all. If you're listening to this, I pray that you position yourself there, because I am a great believer in gatherings, having said all of that, because I know if you are positioned in an environment where God can arrest your heart, transform your life, it will set you up for the rest of your life. And I have such a feeling that 2016 is going to do that in a, and especially that it's just placed, I know people are going to come from all over the world and they're listening to this podcast from all over the world, but America's at a very, very pivotal time in history. And all of us to gather 50,000, not future leaders, but current, the people that are going to be in every major sphere of influence for the future when I die, like, you know, when I'm gone, they're still going to be here. Then I think we need to be positioning ourselves in that environment where God can lay a hold of us, because we really get to be able to implement so much of what Scripture says we can do if we kind of are all on the same track, going in the same direction and saying, we're not just going to sit by and listen to the naysayers and the negativity and the fear and the doubt and say, you know, it's all over. We are going to stand up in our full stature in Christ as the Church of Jesus Christ and just really, really make a difference in our generation. So I just sort of feeling God's going to do it.
I love it. I say yes and amen to that. Excited about what's going to come to Passion 2016 and the way that's going to position us for everything that God has in the future. He's amazing. And this is our 19th year, which is a crazy thought, especially to a guy who thought we had a 4-year movement on our hands. But God seems to still be writing the story. The pen's in his hand. So I can't wait to see what comes in the days ahead. Christine, we love you so much. Pray favor on you until we see you. Every place you go, everywhere your voice is raised, and at home with your family, just pray God's favor in an amazing way on you and everything that you do. And we look forward to seeing you at Passion 2016. I was going to say in Atlanta, but I don't know if you're going to be in Atlanta or Houston, or if you're going to be at Infinite Arena or Phillips Arena or the Toyota Center. I guess it's still a mystery right now. So
I'm going to be at all of them anyway.
All right. Hey, thanks for the time today. We love you so much. Thanks for joining us on the Passion Podcast. Okay, bye-bye.
Wow, amazing podcast. I love having her on. I love the inspiration that she brings, and just incredible.
Yeah, she's awesome. You're going to love her. If you haven't heard her before, at Passion, she's going to light the place up. It's awesome. Before we roll, Louis, I think we should have a little fun.
Okay.
And as you remember, at Passion 2015, during the lunch break, we tried to set up a few different blind dates on stage in front of 20,000 people eating.
That's always a good idea.
They're Jason's Deli Lunch. Two random people that we selected, invited them up
on
stage.
How were they selected, Brad?
They were selected by me and a few friends walking around going, who should we, who are our guinea pigs?
So just on site, basically. That guy looks like he'd be a good fit for that girl.
Well, we can't, give all the information away. But we picked a couple people, put them up on stage. We were actually have a pretty good batting average. One of the couples out of the three is still together.
Hello.
Other two didn't really work out. Wasn't a lot of chemistry, but there was one. At Passion Atlanta number two.
So you're batting .333.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
And they hit it off. I mean, it was evident to everybody, and they're actually still dating, Louis.
Wow.
So I feel like we need to check in on them, and all the podcast listeners would appreciate getting a little relational update.
Okay.
You up for that?
Absolutely.
Is that too far for the podcast?
No, that's great. I love it.
So we're going to check in with our friends, Gray and Kimberly, and give them a call. We'll see if we can get them on the line.
Well, here we are back on the Passion Podcast. It's Brad Jones. I've got our great friend Clay Scroggins, who's the campus pastor at North Point Community Church, on the phone. You there, Clay?
Brad, I am a longtime listener to the Passion Podcast, but a first-time caller. So thanks for the opportunity to get to hang with all the Passion people.
Well, we have a huge global worldwide audience, so don't be stressed out here, Clay. I think we're up to like 800 people.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
Clay, you've been a community group leader at Passion for several years now. And just quickly, you want to give a shout-out for community groups?
Well, yeah, community groups really are the best, the greatest. It's my favorite part of Passion, and I think most students would agree.
Even though what happens in the arena or stadium is awesome as well, so I won't tell Lou you said all that, but community groups are amazing.
Please don't.
You're one of the best community group leaders, definitely top 15, top 20. But this year, you and I had a little fun at Passion with a few different students. And, anything can happen at Passion. You never know what God's going to do.
You talking about what happened at lunch at Passion?
Yeah, what happened at lunch? It was kind of a last-minute idea, but we decided to, in front of 20,000 people, during lunch, set two students up on a blind date. And why don't you tell everybody about
magical.
The first one? Because there's three conferences. We did three of them. How'd they go?
The first one was good. I mean, I think we both knew there wasn't a chemistry. I think we could sense it. I think the Jason's Deli seemed to be not the way they wanted to spend their first date. But the second one, Brad.
Well, hold on. The first one, though, the problem was it was all random. We just picked two people out, and he was a senior in high school. She was a senior in college, so it was doomed from the beginning.
Yes. He was going to be it would have been a major feat if they ended up together. Let's just say that.
But the second one.
The second one.
Well, how'd that go?
I think that really is what the history books are going to write about.
Well, we thought it'd be fun, Clay. That's Gray and Kimberly. It was random, but they're still dating. They met on stage in front of 20,000 people, ate Jason's Deli together, and they're still dating. So let's call them.
You're going to call them right now?
Yeah, let's just find out. I think the Passion family wants to know how things are going. K Kimberly and Gray, welcome to the Passion Podcast.
What's going on?
Man, I've got our friend, your friend, Clay Scroggins on the line as well. Can you guys hear us?
Hey, Kimberly, Gray. This is such a, what a great little surprise for the four of us to, I don't know, can we call this a double date?
No, but the last time the four of us together were together, we were on stage. Gray and Kimberly did not know each other previously, but we were on stage. They were sharing a candlelight Jason's Deli dinner. Is the rumor true, Gray, that you guys are still dating?
Yeah, we are still dating and going strong. We've been together for about 6 months now and about to hit our seventh month anniversary in a week or two.
Gray, can I ask you a question? I feel like this is just a common question that relationships get oftentimes, which is, it's kind of a funny question, but it's important. Has it gotten serious?
I would definitely say it's gotten serious.
Okay. Well, we've got a few follow-up questions. So much intrigue around this, given that y'all met at Passion. Do you guys believe in love at first sight, you know, given your history? So many college students around the world are wondering if that's a real thing or not.
They want an answer.
Kimberly?
I mean, initially, I don't think I believed in love at first sight.
Oh, gosh. That is not the answer that Gray wanted to hear.
It's okay, no, Gray. You're a great guy. Just didn't make a strong first impression.
It took Gray and I a little while to cultivate what we have now. But I'm really glad and thankful for the blind date, as awkward as it was.
Was it awkward, Kimberly? Talk about the awkwardness, because a lot of people that are listening weren't there. How awkward was it having a first date on stage in front of everybody?
It was extremely awkward and uncomfortable. I think I was actually, I was smiling on stage, but I was smiling through the tears.
Oh, through the tears? Oh, no.
Oh, she's painful. Like, I've really had a lot of counseling sessions about it, and I'm just now starting to get over it.
Yes. But it's been such a blessing, and I'm so thankful for it. So,
can I ask the two of you, has it been hard to be in such a public space in regards to your relationship? I mean, it's, you know, just with the tabloids writing about you guys, just having your beginning being so public, is it hard?
I mean, Instagram blew up on this date, by the way.
Blew up.
People are rooting for you guys all over the world, you know? Is that hard?
I wouldn't say it's too hard. It's funny, every once in a while, walking on campus together or something, someone will come up and say, hey, aren't you the passion couple or something?
the passion couple. You've got a title.
That's an odd phrase. So, speaking of serious, have you met each other's families?
We have, actually.
Yeah, quite a bit, actually.
Whoa, Clay.
Hello.
Quite a bit, Clay.
Quite a bit. Let me ask it.
His family's here a lot, but Gray came to Texas last summer and met my family. So
a trip back home, Clay.
This is really drilling down. Gray, do you have Kimberly's dad's cell phone number?
I actually do have that.
Oh, wow. Hello. That's a big step.
Yeah, I actually do have that, and he's actually coming to see us play LSU this weekend.
Is Kimberly going to make that trip?
I think she's going to stay back in Auburn, and she has some tests coming up that she needs to get ready for.
So it's just going to be mano a mano, you and her dad getting to hang out together.
Well, my family's going too, so.
Okay.
There's some deflection. That's some healthy deflection.
Gray
right
and Kimberly, it was very random. A lot of people are wondering that, but they both go to Auburn. And Gray is a member of the Tiger football team, and they've got a big game coming up this week against LSU. And you never know. I don't know who we have more podcast listeners of, the Tigers of LSU or the Tigers of Auburn. So it's going to be a big game this weekend. Gray, what position you play and how you feeling about the season?
I play receiver, and I feel good about the season. We got some work to do, but we've been working hard, so ready to go out and play an SEC team this week.
Well, War Eagle, even though we've got a Crimson Tide guy with Clay and a Aggie with myself on the line. We got a roll, but and I think I heard Kimberly might be on her way to a test, so you probably need to get off the phone and study for that. Kimberly, what class are you taking a test in?
Geology.
Oh, okay. All right. Easy class. I like that. And
I think the big idea here, Brad, is that anything can happen at Passion.
You just never know, so you definitely want to be there. We got to come up with a new idea this year if we can't do the blind dates on stage. Clay, do you have any advice for them on the way out? Any relationship advice?
I do. I would just say this. I would say keep it vertical. That's my big piece of advice for the two of you. Just keep it standing up.
This took a different turn than I was ready for.
Keep it portrait. Don't go landscape.
And my advice is, you know, in all relationships, you're either going to get married or you're going to break up. So, you know, it takes the pressure off a little bit. You know, you're either going to get married or break up. So you got to keep the end in mind. We really
Two
do love
options.
You guys. Thanks for letting us call and check in on you. We are rooting for you, by the way. But
we are.
We love both of you and grateful for our friendship. Clay, are Clay and I going to be involved if this thing progresses? Like, and there is a wedding? I guess that's what we need to know.
I mean, I think it's going to be, I think, you know, I don't want to go that far, Brad, to talk about the wedding, but if there is one, and if you and I are not co-officiants of the wedding, I think that's going to be really challenging.
Now, Clay, you are going to be a great ring bearer. We got to get Louie involved somehow, you know, and I'm still not sure of my role. Best man, officiant, I'm not sure.
Best man feels right.
Yeah. No comment from Kimberly or Gray?
What was that?
It said no comment from y'all?
Kimberly said we'll let you all know.
She said don't hold your breath.
Okay. Maybe we will get invited then, Clay.
She said don't call me. I'll call you.
Hey, good luck on your test. Good luck in the game. And we will see you guys. Are y'all coming to Passion 2016?
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll be there.
All right. Definitely. Well, hope it's not complicated. And we will see y'all there.
All right.
We'll see y'all there. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Love that, Brad, and I know you do too. Amazing seeing what God has done. Gray King, go Auburn Tigers, number 87. If you're at a game, look for him.
But no pressure.
No pressure.
We love
no,
you guys.
No relationship. We don't want to make it feel like everybody in the world staring at you. You just let God lead you. Do what God wants you to do. But Brad,
I do
on,
want
you
it
got,
to
you
work
wanted
out.
To work out pretty bad.
We are rooting for you, but no pressure.
Yeah. Hey guys, thanks again for joining us today. Remember, God's got a purpose and a plan, a vision for your life. Part of that is registering for Passion. And we look forward to seeing you guys next time on the Passion Podcast. Take care.